right. Good evening, fellow Wahoos and all you ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my tall, comical,
good-looking,
yeah. Jim Hobgood. Mm-hmm. And we're delighted to be on the air tonight for a two-hour special show. My goodness, UVA ran into a tough one, Hobbo, against Carolina down there in Chapel Hill last weekend. Got to tip your hat to the Tar Heels. It's a shame, though, that the UVA offense couldn't finish some of those drives. I think it could have been a high-scoring game and could have been very exciting. Anyhow, UVA fans have got to help rally, just like the team, and get prepared for a big home game this weekend versus Southern Miss. That's always a tough team. Saturday at 3:30 p.m. up there in the friendly confines of Scott Stadium. Jim and I are going to break down the UNC game. We're going to review the ACC schedule. And we're going to preview the upcoming Southern Mississippi clash, and we're probably going to talk a little bit about ACC expansion.
That is true. In that regard, we have one of our guests tonight. Later in this half hour will be Dirk Kastra. We're going to run through the whole guest list here momentarily, but this is indeed Jim. As always, we have another great show for you tonight, and you have two full hours of Who's Talking tonight. We're on through 8 o'clock tonight, so... particularly in the second half hour, there may be an opportunity to call in and maybe talk about ACC expansion, football, whatever you would like. But at any rate, we're delighted to get down through our guest list. Our first guest tonight will be former UVA and Chicago Bear tight end Fontale Mines. He'll be joining us momentarily. I referenced the fact that Dirk Kastra will be on later in this first half hour. Second half hour of the first hour of the show, we'll have former UVA wide receiver and defensive back Ahmad Hawkins, well known for the catch down in Blacksburg, which is what, 13 years ago now.
Holy guacamole!
It's been that long ago. And also here in the first hour, we'll have Dr. Gordy Rawls from Ortho Virginia, and he will talk a little bit about the injuries Virginia is looking at the moment. And then in the second hour, the first half hour of the second hour, we will have Chris Horn, the Sabre recruiting guru, and he'll talk, I'm sure, about that wide receiver they just got a commitment from up in Massachusetts and some of the other targets that are left. What, I think they're talking about maybe two or three spots available that Coach London might still have. But at any rate, there are a number of ways to follow the show, and Michael Tusky will tell us that right now.
Hey, everybody. We encourage call-ins. Just dial 345-0910. Who's Talking is streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. Each of our previous shows are archived on thesaber.com. We encourage you to go on to Facebook, just search for Who's Talking, and become a fan. As always, your questions and comments are welcome. Just call us at 345-0910.
Well, as Frank mentioned earlier, Virginia, a tough loss down in Chapel Hill. I at least saw some signs of hope, particularly the way Virginia was able to move the football. They were able to run the ball against a good Carolina defensive front. So, you know, a number of mistakes that you would expect from a young team. But I think, you know, going forward, I think this team's just going to get progressively better as the season moves along. But at any rate, we have our first guest, Mr. Fontale Mines, and Frank will introduce him right now.
We are delighted to have a previous guest coming back to the show tonight. Fontale Mines is well-known among Richmond area sports fans. He played his football and his basketball over at Hermitage High School. And Fontale played wide receiver at UVA, but then ended up playing a little tight end when he beefed up when he played for a number of years for the Chicago Bears. And Fontale last year was actually coaching at Hermitage, but he's had some new development this year, and it's very exciting. The NFLPA helped him land a special gig as a coach of tight ends and assisting with wide receivers down at Chauhan College down in North Carolina, and we can't wait to hear about that. Anyhow, without further ado, let's bring on Fontale. Hey, are you there, Fontale?
I'm here. How you guys doing?
We're looking forward to having you on tonight. Fontale, good to talk to you. Hey, tell us a little bit about your new job down there, and what's it like coaching a college gig now?
Oh, man, I'm really enjoying myself. I'm really getting to learn a lot from these guys that are, you know, out here. They've established themselves as a great coaching staff, and I'll provide the opportunity through the NFLPA, as you mentioned. And it's pretty much a coaching internship. It selects eight retired NFL players, you know, through a process of, you know, applications and resumes and such. And I was fortunate enough to be chosen, and just to get a chance to get down here and learn as much as possible and further my coaching career.
Fontel, I'd be remiss if I didn't pass along the best wishes of Faye Boykin, who taught you over there at Hermitage back in the day. Her husband, Billy, wanted to say hello as well. But I take it, since you're exploring this, coaching would be something you might look at as a career choice?
Oh, definitely. I think this is my next move, and, you know, I'm eager to get started, and just you know, this is just the beginning right here. Just because so many coaches have affected me growing up, you know, not only on the field but off the field, you know, becoming a man, and, you know, it's a great person to have in your life. And, you know, I've been there, and I've been through the ups, and I've been through the downs, and, you know, I'd rather work at the college level just to, you know, so I can reach as many guys as possible.
Fontel, tell us a little bit about coaching down there in North Carolina, and what league is, am I pronouncing it correctly, Chauhan?
Oh, yes, sir, Chauhan University, win the CIAA.
Right, and tell me what the some of the competition is like. What are some of the teams?
We just played Winston-Salem State. We've played UNC Pembroke, and we traveled to Virginia State University this weekend.
Oh, that's a big game.
Yep, very big game for us. So, from my knowledge, we've now become a four-year university. This is the fifth or sixth season. You know, don't quote me on that, but you know, we came a long way. This coaching staff here has put a program in place, and they're going the right direction.
Who's the head coach down there?
Coach Tim Place.
Very good, Fontel. I know you saw some of the game this past Saturday. The Cavaliers down there at Keenan Stadium in Chapel Hill. What were your impressions of the game?
Oh, man, just a young, eager, motivated team, and I'm definitely liking what I'm seeing out there. They're hungry, and they're ready to win, and the only way we can go from here is up. Those guys have a lot of growing to do, you know, as players, as men, so the only direction we're going right now is up, and Coach London has those guys in the right direction.
You know, one thing that I really like about Coach Lennon and his staff is the fact that they're rotating a lot of players into the lineup. They're giving youngsters a chance. They're giving veterans a chance. They're trying to maximize the potential of the team. And what are your thoughts when you watch the receiving core? I know Coulter Phillips has been injured the last two games, but you've been able to look at this team a little bit. Tell me what you think.
I like them, man. They're talented. They're talented in the right positions. And, you know, it's not enough positive things I can say about those guys. And you know, just the thing Coach London has going on now, you know, playing a lot of younger guys, that's just creating competition in practice. You know, it's just making your team better. Nobody's job is safe week to week. You know, you always have to worry about a young guy or older guy coming for your spot. You know, and growing up in football, that's what it's about. It's about competition. Nobody can get complacent, and you know, nobody can just say, okay, my spot is good. You know, somebody's always coming for you, and that's nothing but make the team better.
Yeah, competition sharpens the sword, as they say. Makes everybody better. By the way, you don't have to say yes, sir, to Frank.
Now, thanks a lot.
Now, me on the other occasion, it probably does deserve a little yes, sir. You know,
older
and distinguished. But Fontel, joking aside, I know you were there in Charlottesville from 03 to 06. Coach London was there for part of that time. Tell us a little bit about your impressions of Mike London.
Oh, man, I love everything about Coach London. You know, he didn't coach me directly when I was there, but just his energy he brings every day to practice. You know, as a college athlete, you know, there's always going to be those days where you don't want to get up and go to practice. And if you have a motivated coach, you know, always out there, you know, him along with Anthony Poindexter, it does nothing but make practice better. And also shout out to Marcus Hagans out there, you know, starting his coaching career.
Well, don't forget Ray Roberts.
Yeah.
What do you think about Ray coming back? He's moved a long way back, although he grew up down in North Carolina, I think in Asheville, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
But if they need any blocking up there, Ray can do it.
I mean, you know, just bringing those guys that have been there, that have been in those shoes, you know, you're always willing to take advice, you know, from those people, not taking anything away from people that haven't been there that are coaching, you know, but just, you know, as a player's perspective, you're always willing to take advice from those guys who've been there, who've done it, and who've been successful in it, you know, whether it be them telling you something you don't want to hear or telling something that, you know, you need to hear. So I think that's good and positive for those guys.
You know, one of Mike London's key to current and future success is to keep that recruiting continuing in a successful way. You know, you played not that long ago, so you were a college recruit not too awful long ago.
Right.
What's the key to his success as a recruiter?
You know, just for those kids being comfortable with them. You know, when I chose University of Virginia, it was all about a comfort level for me. You know, Anthony Poindexter had a hand in recruiting me along with Mike Groh, and it was just I felt comfortable with those guys, and I felt like I could relate to those guys and play for those guys on a daily basis. You don't ever want to go anywhere where you're miserable or, you know, like I said, you don't want to go out to practice. So it's all a comfort level for these guys coming out. And, of course, success. You're always going to be successful. And like I stated earlier, those guys are moving in the right direction.
Fontel, having played as a receiver for Virginia, recently we had Billy McMullen on the show, and he was talking about the various receivers Virginia and the things that he liked about them. And he said he never really would analyze the individual players in the game necessarily, but he would wait for a star to emerge and grab his attention. When you're watching your players down there at Chawan, or if you're watching on TV and watching the Hoosier, whether you're on the sideline of a Virginia game, what sort of things do you notice when you're watching the game?
I'm really curious to see how an athlete deals with adversity. You know, how is he going to handle after he drops a pass or runs the wrong route? You know, what is his body language after that? That's what I'm really curious to see, and that's when you know if a guy's taking the step in the right direction. If your big name guys can fight back from adversity and climb back and you know, not walk around with your head down. You know, that's probably the first thing I noticed, because that was harped on me as a player. You know, from John Garrett to Al Groh to Coach London, just body language and how you bounce back from adversity.
Well, we've got about a minute and a half till break. Give us your impressions of being a coach now in the college atmosphere down there in North Carolina.
Oh man, nothing but positive things to say. But it's definitely a full time grind. I'm up 6 a.m. and I don't get home to, you know, almost 11 at night. So it's those behind the scenes things that a lot of people don't know that goes along with the coaching territory. And you know, I'm learning a lot, and I'm getting better with it daily. And I'm just trying to get my players better. So if I'm getting better, my players getting better. And we're going the right direction.
I would think that some of your strengths would have to be certainly technique, particularly the things that you learned while you were with the Chicago Bears, and being able to impart that type of wisdom to the youngsters to sort of show them the ropes. Would that be a fair statement?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, these guys are obviously talented. They wouldn't be here if they weren't. But you know, technique carries you a long way. You know, playing receiver or playing tight end. You know, technique is everything. I mean, if you have great technique along with the ability, then you're going to be successful.
All right,
so, you know, I'm just trying to pass my knowledge on those guys and have a good time while I'm doing it.
I'm sorry, Fontel, I cut into there a little bit to finish your answer. But at any rate, we got to go to our break now, but we appreciate you taking a few minutes to join us. We wish you nothing but the best down there at Chawan College?
Yep. Yes, sir. Chawan.
I get the pronunciation right here, but best of luck down there and in your coaching career to come. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, guys, for having me. I always enjoy it.
All right, Fontel, have a great night.
Yeah, Fontel right. Mines, former Virginia star. We're going to go to break. When we return, we will have VAF Executive Director Dirk Kachtra.
All right, we're back. This is Who's Talking with Frank Maloney and Jim Hobgood. And I'm going to let Hobbo do the intros for Mr. Kachtra.
Well, thank you very much, Frank. Dirk Kachtra, a former UVA hoopster. I have to get that in, first of all. You know, you get that basketball lineage in there. But Dirk, we may have to ask him. We should have done our research on this. I know Dirk has been the VAF executive director for a good number of years. Dirk, are you with us?
I am, guys.
We were just discussing, how long have you been in this capacity with VAF?
Well, I've been with the foundation for 20 years now, and in my current role as director since 96.
Okay, so we're going to call that 15 years by my math. That's close enough. But at any rate, we appreciate you taking a couple of minutes to join us. I guess one topic that is fresh in everybody's mind right now is ACC expansion. What impact does that have on the ACC, and does it have any impact on VAF?
Well, you know, by... by nature and tradition and history and all that, having played an ACC tournament and basketball and all that, you know, expansion is a tough concept to swallow. However, I think that's the way of the world these days, and, you know, change has become the new norm. And I think where we are now is we have to embrace it and get excited about it, because I do think adding Syracuse and Pittsburgh to the mix is going to bring a whole lot of new opportunities for us in a lot of sports, especially basketball. Those are two pretty good basketball schools. So I think it's going to be fun. A lot left to be decided, you know, as you think about ACC basketball tournaments, scheduling football, all the things that have been discussed on the national scene. We're all kind of waiting to see what decisions get made, to see how we then go into action to work around those.
Dirk, this is Frank. Glad to have you on the show tonight. Wondering, just overall, there was a notice today in the media regarding the Pac-12, which is kind of humorous just to even say that, has announced that they are not going to expand to 16 teams. And at the same time, Texas, with their big TV deal, is rocking the boat for everybody probably. And it seems as if the ACC just performed a preemptive airstrike, swooped in and took in a couple of good basketball schools. What's in store next?
You know, I don't really know what's in store next. Craig Littlepage has kept us updated along the way, and we had a couple of discussions this week as he informed us of how we arrived, how the ACC arrived at Pittsburgh and Syracuse, and, you know, he offered his opinion, although it's just his opinion, and we certainly countered with some of our opinions. And I think for where we are today, I think adding two schools that are good schools, they're good basketball schools, they've had some good football tradition as well, so I think it's a good addition to the ACC. And, you know, I think we can live with 14, you know, for a while, or maybe, you know, for a long while. I think it's a good number. It gives us what we need. And, you know, it's all going to get down to, you know, TV revenue negotiations. And I'm not knowledgeable enough to know how all those will unfold. But, you know, you hope that it all gets figured out fairly quickly, and it's in the best interest of the schools.
Dirk, as you well know, the last two or three years we've been in kind of in a tough economy. Tell us how VAF is doing under those circumstances.
You know, it's still tough out there, as we all know. I think our fans have been really loyal and really good to our program and continue to show their support. You know, we're from the annual fundraising standpoint, which is really our bread and butter measuring stick, we're about the same level, slightly ahead of where we were at this time last year. We're actually several hundred donors ahead on the donor count. So the membership is growing, which is a good thing. The dollar count is about the same, which is good in this economy, and hopefully that'll continue to grow. The tough part of it is, as we've been in a mode of recovery and responding to the downturn in the annual fund, our scholarship bill continues to go up, and that's not a good recipe to work from. So we're trying to get back to where we were 3 years ago to make scholarship, you know, payments to the university and be able to manage our budget like we need to for the athletic program.
Dirk, am I correct in saying that it's about 300 athletes that are impacted with scholarship support at UVA?
Yeah, well, the way we look at it, we have 650 student athletes this year. About the equivalency of full scholarships is 316.6, and that's just if you look at the NCAA limits on each sport and you apply the full scholarship numbers to each one. But the coaches are able to, you know, break apart the scholarships and award half scholarships or third scholarships. They decide how they want to break apart their scholarships, but they're able to recruit with the full budget.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before, but you pay the tuition, so it makes a difference in-state, out-of-state. So to the degree that Coach Lennon has success down in the 757, it sort of indirectly helps VAF.
Coach Lennon has done a great job competitively, obviously, winning the state on a lot of occasions, but from a scholarship standpoint, there's about a $23,000 difference in the in-state scholarship and the out-of-state scholarship. So every kid he gets from the state of Virginia certainly helps us when we write the scholarship check to the university to cover it.
Dirk, in your capacity, and I was actually going to guess 20 years before Jim asked the question, but in your capacity, you've seen a lot of changes and a lot of unusual developments. Has the current situation as it unfolds today, with the economy being what it is, the building of JPJ and the expansion of Scott Stadium and all the other facilities that are being worked on, including the track and field complex and the baseball stadium, these things, isn't the entire athletic budget and the VAF budget, isn't it under a great deal of pressure? Isn't that fair to say?
That is fair to say. In the years that I've been here, we've done so much, and I've been so fortunate to be involved in what we've done, you know, stadium expansion, JPJ, baseball, indoor tennis. We've done a lot of facility projects. Track is, you know, we're in the middle of that facility as well. We've done a lot of good things and tried to respond in strategic planning in a way that funds a program like Virginia has that wants to compete in every single sport at a national level, and measuring ourselves against the Stanfords and the Carolinas and those that are, you know, good in many, many sports. You know, I think where we sit today is probably the biggest challenge that we face, trying to respond to what everybody calls the new normal in this economy at a time where costs continue to go up and we're trying to raise money, which is in a lot of ways the last dollars that people spend. And, you know, when you're down in the economy, and we've been fortunate that we've got Tony Bennett and Mike London now at the helm, football and basketball, and I think we're heading in the right direction there. But, you know, winning and losing certainly impacts the ability to raise money in the athletics world, and that's been, you know, that hasn't worked in our favor. So, you know, we've had a number of things. You know, we reseeded the football stadium in 2008, and you could argue that the timing was completely wrong for that, given what occurred on the field and the economy. And so we're trying to, you know, to work through that as well. And so we got a lot of challenges ahead, and we're committed to funding a program that is going to compete, you know, very successfully in each of our 25 sports. And you know, that's a big challenge moving forward.
Dirk, before we let you go, you mentioned Tony Bennett. How many wins this year for Coach Bennett?
You know, I'm an optimist. I'm going to look to the to playing in March Madness in the NCAA tournament. But
that,
you know,
sounds good.
That's you know, probably a lot of the fan in me, and not a coach answer. But I think, you know, what he's done with the program and the kids that he has coming in. I've watched him play a little bit in pickup games this fall, and the new kids seem to be blending really well. They're talented, very talented. James Johnson looks good. Joe Harris is shooting lights out in the times that I've seen him play. You know, KT Harrell seems to have dropped a little bit of weight, playing a little quicker. So, you know, Mike Scott looks good and strong. So, you know, I think we got some good things on the horizon. I'm excited about basketball season. I'm excited for this Saturday playing Southern Miss in football. And hopefully we'll continue to see some winning ways up here in Charlottesville on those two sports.
I think you're absolutely right. So we thank you for taking a couple of minutes to join us tonight. We'll certainly have you back on as the academic year progresses. But anyway, Dirk Kattstra, thank you for your time tonight.
Well, thanks, guys.
Have a great night. Thank you, Dirk.
All right, we'll go to break. When we come back from this break, we will have former Cavalier Ahmad Hawkins join us.